Ah, how about that, right? Is it Besho time? Yeah, it is. It's Besho time. How about that? And my name is Tom, and I'm here. And yeah, it's not you know how it is. Some nights it's a old picnic. Other nights it ain't a picnic. And this is one of those weeks it ain't no picnic. But what it is a Tuesday. Let's turn those lemons. Now follow this. Let's turn those lemons, which I'm bringing to the party. Lemons, a whole big bushel of lemons. Let's turn those into lemonade. And we'll do that with some good old fashioned laughs, and you can make me laugh. And that's tonight's show. Make Tom laugh. You call 201-332-3484. Just try to make your old friend laugh. It's a time that we're sitting in different chairs tonight. We're sitting in different chairs. So I'm sitting in this chair, the chair usually you sit in, where I just make you laugh and laugh and laugh. Tonight I'm in that chair, and tonight you're in my chair. So now you make me laugh. And so call up and let's do it. And so if I'm bringing the old big old bushel of lemons to the thing, then you are bringing the sugar. You're bringing the sugar. And my friends, Pat and AP Mike and Dudio, they're bringing the water. Those are the three things you need for old lemonade, right? They got water. You got the sugar, callers, and I'm bringing the lemons. So let us do it to it. I'm going to try to, as the band of Black Flag once said, rise above. And we will rise above, hopefully. And if we don't, we don't. But we try, and now let's do it to it. It's, according to the old clock on the wall, it is Besho time. Jersey, back again. welcome back. Another episode of The Best Show. Let's do it to it. My name's Tom. I am the host of The Best Show. And I am here with you on a Tuesday night in March of 2022, baby. And that's what we do. We show up. Showing up is half the battle, right? Isn't that what they say? Showing up is half the battle. We'll figure it out. I don't know. I don't think they say that. I say it, though. And I'm saying it right now, man. Showing up is half the battle. And here I am. No, I just had a week that I would say is up and down. What else is new? Hardly exclusive to my life. I know that. But as the Beach Boys said on their hit song Surfing, bop. No, I'm not gonna. What did they say? Bop. Remember that song? I remember when that came out. No, I don't. What a corny band. Beach Boys. Just think about that. We're the Beach Boys. Then you fast forward. How old are you? I'm 79. And I'm being told right now it's Mike Love's birthday. Well, God bless you. God bless you, Mike Love. Hopefully you're at the halfway mark. Hopefully we get another. How old is Mike Love? Anybody have a
81.
81. Here's to another 81 years.
Oh, God.
Mike Love. I'm wishing you another 81. Fast forward, it's 2308, and the Beach Boys are still playing live with just Mike Love. Al Jardine's great-grandson is in the band. That's the only lineage to the Beach Boys is Al Jardine's great-grandson and the actual Mike Love. And he'll be like saying, anybody out there like to surf? Because look, when this guy was 25, he wasn't much of a singer. Which actually favored him now. It's kind of like that same thing I have. There's a thing that what they call us are garbage bag faces. A lot of the garbage bag faces like me and like Danny DeVito, basically. It's the two of us, basically. We are garbage bag faces. And early on, people were like, what is going on with that melon on this kid's head? Everybody else is walking around looking young and handsome and pretty. And then you got these garbage bag faces like me and Danny DeVito. Then you turn around, we're getting older. The needle ain't moving that much because we started off as garbage bag faces. So then the rest of these Robert Redfords, when they start melting, when their faces start melting, everybody's like, boy, Robert Redford doesn't look good anymore. But then, like, you know who looks pretty good? Danny DeVito, for his age, he looks pretty good. So I got a little bit of that, a little bit of the old Danny DeVito garbage bag face syndrome. I got more than a little bit. And I mean, I know the three of you working on the show wouldn't understand that. One's more handsome than the next. But once in a while, think of a garbage bag face, huh? Think of what it's like for us.
Is that a Jersey expression?
Garbage bag face?
Yeah.
It's been around for a long time, Mike.
Is it? You
never heard it?
So no.
You're almost implying that I just made it up right now.
No, Mike, I'm not Mike, implying that at all. Is that what you're
implying? Mike, I've never been so hurt.
I don't get around that much, I guess, and was unaware of this expression.
Yeah, well, sounds like somebody needs to start renting a city bike. start peddling around. You'll start hearing phrases like garbage bag face when you start mixing it up with the actual folks out in the real world, not your salons and your Algonquin round tables.
Yeah.
And salons. The rest of us are wondering, you go to the library and you're just like, yes, where are the classics? And I go to the library and I'm just like, is there a code for the bathroom? Like, that's what it's like. Can I have a key to the bathroom? Is there a code? And what are they? When you think about it, what's the library doing with these codes? They're going to let you in, right? Who are they turning away? You ever been turned away at the library bathroom, Mike?
Pat? No, but I know that the introduction of the internet into the library has caused problems.
Yeah, it caused problems because a lot of people looking to get some get their jollies.
Yeah.
On a public monitor.
Yeah.
Well, that's on them. This is what I would say. If you're a creep and you're at the library and you're looking to get your jollies, go to the classic section. Just pick up. What should they pick up? Tropic of Cancer. Is that good? Was that a good one, Mike?
Yeah, it was a good book.
I could see some dirty words in there. They get your jollies. Might not be as immediate.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's particularly sexy, though. You know, there's sex talk in it, but it's not a sexy book.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know what's a sexy book?
I don't want to know, but but I'll listen to you say it.
What? I mean, I can't think of that many, but the one book that I thought was pretty sexy. They made a movie of it too. I Served the King of England.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know it.
It's a good book, and it's pretty sexy. And they try to get a little bit of that across in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the book is better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I Know the King of England. What's it called?
I Serve the King of England.
So if you're looking for some erotic fare at the library, and they won't let you on the monitor.
Yeah.
Go to the desk and go, do you have I Serve the King of England? And then they'll look you up and down, make sure you're over 18. And then they'll reach under the counter and then pull it out and then hand it to you. They'll go, here you go. But don't be a creep, right? Yeah, I'm not a creep.
Take it home.
Yeah, I'll be back. My Dudio, you ever been turned away at the library bathroom?
Have I ever been turned away at the library bathroom?
Yeah, like I'm saying, because they lock it. They'll have a key at a lot of public bathrooms, library bathroom.
I've never been to a bathroom where it's been locked. You just walk right in.
Ever in life?
Ever in life.
You've never been to like an office building where the bathrooms are locked in the hallway?
Oh, I've been there, but not a library.
Okay.
Like, why would they lock? What's happening in your libraries?
That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know.
They didn't do it in Radford. They don't do it in Burbank. You can walk right in. It's nice.
It's like they don't do it where?
They don't do it in Radford.
Radford what? Radford?
West Virginia. Sorry, Rooster's Creek. They don't do it in Rooster's Creek. Well, there is no library in Rooster's Creek.
Yeah. It's just an old copy of Vogue. Burned up.
Yeah. It's some it's some old Penthouse copies that you find out in the woods.
Yeah. They got some wet issues of Penthouse, an old copy of Vogue, and then the first half of a John Grisham book.
Yeah.
Somebody ripped in half.
But nobody knows how it ended.
Yeah. Hey, man, how'd the firm end? People down in the coal mines in West Virginia. Hey, man, what happens in the firm?
You know how that firm ends? And the canary starts going off.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think we got a cave in, man. Let's get out of here. One of the greatest moments ever. Don Rickles said, when he on his album Hello Dummy, when he was talking to somebody in the audience, the guy goes, he's like, "Where are you from?" And then you don't hear the answer. But Rickles goes, "Oh, you're Welsh, huh? Let me make you feel at home." Cave in. And that's it. And then he just turns away from the guy and moves on to the next person. "Let me make you feel at home." Cave in. And yeah, but the part that makes that funny, the funniest part of that to me is, "Let me make you feel at home." As if this is a comfort to this person that there's a cave in.
What record is that on?
Hello Dummy.
Okay, I gotta listen to that.
Yeah. Pat, your library, they locked the door.
The issue is going to a library bathroom and having there be no lock. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, like, if you went to a library in, say, Jersey City somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you have to go get a key at the desk?
Let me think. It's been a minute pre-COVID. I haven't been in a library in...
Been a while.
I think so. I think they have... I was two blocks from a library for so many years, and I think they had some kind of key on a big piece of wood or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I just think I figured out my next career move. Get this. A Taschen coffee table book. Bathroom keys. And it's just hot. It would be high end photography of different gas station keys, like with a...
You're going to stay on that bestseller list, that's for sure.
A hubcap attached to it. Like you show all the things that are attached to gas station keys, office building keys, any key to gain access to a bathroom.
What was the biggest thing that you ever had attached to that key?
Like I'm sure some sort of auto part.
Yeah,
not incredibly heavy one, but sizable.
I had a baseball bat.
I had a mini baseball bat attached to a bathroom key too.
Yeah, this was full size though.
You're talking about a full size
bat. Louisville Slugger.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's like giving a weapon,
Mike.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm pretty sure Bayonne doesn't even have a key or a code on the bathroom.
No, Bayonne doesn't. Like if you went to like a Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
You don't think places like that are just kind of like, we just don't want anyone walking in and using the bathroom. We want a little bit of control over it.
Yeah, I've been to a Jiffy Lube. I try not to time things that I have to use the bathroom.
I understand.
And an oil change. Understand.
Don't worry. You don't want your own oil change timing out with your vehicle's auto change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not thinking when the last time I saw a big thing attached to a key. Maybe at the, when I was a kid, the library. I don't know.
Like a gas station, though? You don't think you haven't come across a good gas station?
Yeah, no, gas station. Customers bathrooms. Only. Yeah. No, not recently.
Would you buy a Taschen book called Bathroom Keys?
No, I think it's a good concept,
High end, beautiful photography of all the bathroom keys of all different types, a little hubcap, right? You got a hubcap, a little mini bat, full-size bat, according to Jason.
Full-size Louisville Slugger.
Full-size Louisville Slugger, which I don't understand the idea. They think, like, hey, we're going to make sure you don't steal the key that you don't forget it.
Yeah, no,
I might beat you with this bat also.
Yeah.
Now I might rob your gas station.
You are arming the person who has to go.
Yeah.
Just charge in with the bat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good concept for a book. I'm just thinking now, I remember I had to use the bathroom in a record store once.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that had like a bunch of, you know, CDs, you know, it was kind of cute, you know, it was
on,
like
on brand. Yeah.
Yeah. It was on brand, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's look, I got to find a couple of photographers to help me with, this. I hear good things about, there's a hot shot, photographer in Brooklyn that I hear good things about. Maybe I'll reach out to Mindy Tucker.
No, oh, if only we had a connection.
If only we had a connection to see if I could get pictures of bathroom keys.
I could put you on her assistant.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mindy Tucker.
She's at South by Southwest right now, but,
well, maybe she can see if there's any sweet bathroom keys. Get the book rolling.
There's plenty.
Yeah, there's got to be plenty of keys down there.
And people can call in and tell us about bathroom keys also if you want to talk about that. And this topic might spill into next week, the bathroom key one. But tonight we're doing Make Me Laugh. So let's just jump right into that. Pat, do we have any calls?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Sure do. Here's line one.
Hello, Best Show.
Hi, Tom. This is Adam calling from Ocean Grove.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. Okay, a little low under the weather, but you know, I'm here.
You've been through a lot.
Doing my thing.
So I have a story of something. I have two options: a story that appeals to your sense of justice that I think is probably a little funny, and then a story of something that where I embarrass myself that I think is sort of funny.
What's your name again, Chief?
Adam.
Adam. Well, Adam, you pick which one, but just remember, what's the topic?
Make Tom laugh.
There you go. Which one is going to actually get Tom to not just go, yeah, that was an entertaining story. Which one is going to get him to actually laugh?
I know, which on a good day is a challenge, so... all right, I'm
sure,
going to go.
That's for sure.
I'm going to go to appeal to sense of justice. Years ago, this pertains to the story. My wife and I went to Thailand when Obama was president, so we were not sort of in the mess that we're in right now. And we ended up going to a restaurant late at night, and we sat down and we passed this table where there's this kid who's pretty drunk and he was talking to some girl. And we sat down and he just was going on and on about how he hates Americans. And he was very loud and we're sitting there and we're trying to order our food and whatever. And all we can hear is, you know, I hate Americans. I hate Americans. Not, you know, and it's not anything about, you know, government or policy or whatever. It's that he hates Americans. And I think especially when you're abroad, you never realize your identity then or the culture where you grew up in.
What is this person saying? That the Americans are dumb slobs?
Nothing. He's just saying that he hates Americans.
Okay.
And so we're sitting there, and so after a few minutes of this, and my wife and I are growing sort of increasingly agitated, I see she has one of her utensils in her hand and her fork or spoon, and she sort of slams it down on the table, and I said, all right, it's me or her, so I get up and I go over to his table, and this kid is just blathering on, you know, that he hates Americans, and I lean over the table, and very quietly, and I have my hands folded behind my back, and I said, listen, you dummy, I'm American, and immediately he starts backpedaling. Immediately he's like, I wasn't talking about you, mate. No, I was talking about the other Americans. And I said, listen, I'm American. I said, and I feel like this is a very American thing to say. I said, you're welcome to have your opinion. You just need to do it quietly so I can't hear it at my table. And so he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, no, I was talking about other people, whatever. And this guy could not have folded harder.
Big tough and, guy.
Yeah. And I'm 5'8". I'm a little dude. So this kid was just, it was an issue of this guy just being challenged, and he's running his mouth. And the moment he gets challenged, he immediately
folds like a cheap camera.
Exactly.
Folds like the.
Sorry, Tom. Stand by 1 second. You're back on with line one. Oh, hold on a second.
Hello?
Yep, you're back on with Tom. Sorry for that.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. That's all right. Don't worry. Thank you, Pat. So he says, no, it's not you. It's yes. The other Americans. Yes.
So then I turn away from the table, and as I'm walking away, he mutters P at me. And...
The five letter word that begins with P?
Yes. So after this kid could not have, as you said, like folded like a cheap camera more heavily, he decides to challenge me as I'm walking away. But, which is, makes for a less interesting story, I suppose, I gave it to him. I let him have it because he's sitting there with this girl. This poor girl was like, folding over in her chair, like so uncomfortable with the fact that I had come up to the table. And I was like, I will let him have that to try to reclaim his night, to reclaim whatever little shred of his ego he has, considering how much he just was apologizing to me. And I sat down, but I kept eyes on that table. And I was like, if that guy looks at me, if he stands up and comes over here, I was like, you know, whatever, we'll have to deal.
You're ready to throw down.
Well, I don't know if I want to get into a fight in a foreign country, but certainly it's just like whatever's going to happen, we'll deal with that. But I was like,
well, then that would make you very American, actually.
If I started fighting someone in a foreign country, yeah,
yeah. But anyway. Nothing happened.
No, the exciting conclusion to the story is that he thanked the owner as if he was like a, you know, 50-year-old like a guy in like a. A nice Italian restaurant, you know, just being like, thank you so much. Oh, you're the best, whatever. And shaking his hand and everything like that. And then he saw himself out like 5 minutes later.
Hmm. Well, I like that story. And I wish you had closed it out with a little oomph there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You went out like a lamb. You went out like a lamb. In like a line, you stand up at the table. Yeah. Please keep your opinion to yourself. And then out like a lamb, the guy zings you on the way away from the table. And then.
Yeah, but it's a knucklehead thing to do, to turn around. Just he was done. And he, that was his.
Oh, I'm not saying you were supposed to go tussle with him. I'm not saying you go tussle with him, but I don't know what to tell you, my friend.
Yeah.
It's an amusing story, but again, what was tonight's show about?
Appeal to Chom's sense of justice.
Come on.
Make Tom larf.
Yeah. You done chose wrong, Chief. Now get off my phone. All right, give me another call, please.
Hello?
Hello, Best Show.
Hi, Best Show.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
I'm speaking to JM in New York.
JM in New York.
Correct.
Okay, how are you, JM?
And I'm one of those long-time listeners, first-time caller type guys.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And look, I'll say you've, since I moved here from Australia, you've given me many laughs over the last 13 years. So the least I can do is try, mate.
Of course. And are you a New York resident or are you visiting New York?
I'm a New York resident. I moved here 13 years ago, and about 6 months into that, someone put me on to the Best Show, and I've listened ever since.
Amazing. That's amazing. Because I'm hearing a little, is it Australian or New Zealand?
It's Australian. Thank you.
It's Australian. No, I'm hearing a little twinge, and I know it's, look, I apologize for overstepping about poking around in your history. I apologize. That's maybe not the most polite thing to do.
Not at all. Not at all. And you got it right with the Australian part. If you'd led with the New Zealand part,
well, I know how New Zealand people feel about us being called Australian, and
exactly.
Now I know about how Australian people feel about being referred to as being New Zealanders.
Exactly. Not all New Zealanders are the headless chickens, you know. We have to
look at this. This guy already he goes deep cut flying nun reference right off the bat, as if I couldn't love him more. As if I couldn't love you more, JM. You go, you drop a head. He didn't say the chills. He didn't say the clean, the bats. He didn't do the obvious one. Didn't even say tall dwarfs. He goes, headless chickens. Are you going to say snapper? Are you going to say snapper next?
Yes, I will.
You're going to drop us next.
No, I'll stick with headless chickens because, let's face it, sometimes days seem to move just like a big fat man. One of the best lyrics.
JM, you're blowing me away here. Now tell me, JM, where in Australia did you grow up?
I grew up in the north, actually. I grew up in Queensland, what we call Queensland, okay. And it's a bit warmer there. And then most of my kind of adult life, I was in Sydney. Up until I moved to New York about 13 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That so kind of, you know, my grown up life experience, but I came of age up in kind of Brisbane, Sunshine Coast in Queensland.
Sure. And who's an Australian hero of yours? Who do you think embodies the best of Australia?
Oh, wow. That's really hard.
Just first person to come across your mind. Doesn't have to be perfect.
Wow. Wow, this is...
Gary Beers? You can say Gary Beers from NXS?
I'm not going to say Gary Beers from NXS. You know, I'll be honest. The first thing that came to my mind... And this is kind of, this is from my youth, was, and look, it's complicated. There's a complicated legacy there, but I'm going to go with it, was Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil.
Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil, the chrome-domed lead singer of Midnight Oil.
Yeah, at 14 years old, that was very impactful in a young whippersnapper's life.
Sure. Were you proud as an Australian when you would hear that they were popular worldwide?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
And you felt that they were kind of ambassadors for Australia.
Yes, indeed.
That's cool.
We're a funny little country, you know. We're a kind of weird mix of inferiority complex mixed mm-hmm. with delusions of grandeur.
Sure. Well, look, I'm from New Jersey. I understand that. You're from because everybody in New Jersey takes pride in, well, not everybody, because now I know I'll get called on that. There's always the when somebody's from your backyard, you root for them a little harder.
Yep. This is like true. The way
when Bruce Springsteen, the idea that he represents the state, that's a pretty good deal.
Exactly.
It's a pretty good deal. John Bon Jovi, less so, but still decent enough sort.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can lie.
That's all. Well, that's interesting. I'm glad that's very interesting to hear, JM. So, what led you to call the show tonight?
I read the topic and I was like, you know what? As a story, I wanted to tell you, and let's see. It might come under the category of maybe having a giggle at someone's misfortune if you put yourself in my shoes. So not in a particularly sort of Schadenfreude kind of way, but just something that happened. Let's just say something that happened at work. So a few years back, I used to work in film and television, and I was doing a shoot as an actor in Melbourne, Australia.
I know who this is. I know who you are.
No, you
JM.
This is not true. No, I'm nobody.
Jason Momoa. It's Jason Momoa. This is so exciting. We got Aquaman on the show.
And what's up, Aquaman? I'm doing this accent as well. Exactly. So I may or may not be
mm-hmm.
Momoa. So we'll go with that. So I was doing a show, and I was playing a character on, I believe it was a Stephen King mini series for television called Crouch End, and I was playing the illustrious role of Ratman Number One. Okay, so
you're Ratman Number One.
I'm Ratman Number, not Number Two.
No, that's what I'm saying. There could be six Ratman.
Correct.
And you were Ratman Number One. That's very saying something.
It really is. And so if you can imagine, I mean, I guess in the casting, I look a little ratish for the prosthetics guys. They must have decided there was a base rat to work with. But there was a lot of prosthetics involved in creating the look for Ratman Number One. And so we were filming outside in Melbourne. And we were doing the unit, the set, was on a giant football field. And because I had so much prosthetic to put on my face, with mm-hmm. fake teeth and contact lenses and a lot of rattish look and facial mm-hmm. hair, I had to get there at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I was the first person on set in the prosthetics trailer. And sure. So... this would happen in the morning, and you'd spend about 2 hours, you know, getting made up. And obviously you're sitting there, it's before the sun has risen. You know, it's still dark. It's 4 o'clock sure. in the
no,
morning.
No, of course. No, you're first up because you got somewhat, you got to be ready for filming.
Exactly.
You got They got a lot of rat makeup to apply. I'll say this.
They do. Look, and
I'll say this. So first of all, JM.
Yep.
Maybe there's a part of you that wants to go, man, I don't love the idea that they looked at me and they were just like, there's Ratman Number One. I know that might hurt a little bit, but think about this. You know what would be worse than that? There goes Rat. They go, well, we found Ratman Number One, and he doesn't even need any makeup. Imagine if you're just like, so how long am I going to be in the chair for? And they're just like, The chair. No, you're good. You just show up as is.
That's true.
We just tripped over the ultimate rat man.
Yeah, they just stick the tail to the back of my trousers.
Yeah, they're just like, you're one tail away from being ready for filming. This guy's camera ready.
Well, that's actually helped me think. That's actually helped me look back on my rat man experience with a little more pride, actually. Just a little more pride.
Yeah, just anyway. that you weren't good to go would be one thing. This would be the worst version. You show up, audition, and for the audition, what did you have to go? Did you have to like pretend you're a rat and like kind of skulk around the audition?
It was sort of like a rat man. So yeah, there was some. You still had to be a man, but ratishly so.
Mm-hmm. But Dudio, can you write this down as a topic for the show, please? And I want you to take first chair on this one. Not because of anything. Worst auditions.
Okay. All right.
Not saying that they're bad auditions. Not saying I'm putting you in first chair because you have it's any referendum on your talent or anything. No, but everybody has bad auditions.
Yes. Yeah. No, I've got about 5 stories I could share,
and that's why I'm putting you in the chair. We'll do that one in an upcoming show. Bad auditions, because there's something so particularly fascinating about the idea that this guy goes into audition for Ratman, and then they're like, yeah, that's our Ratman. Now, JM, the worst version. This truly would have been the worst version. You go in, you start doing your Ratman routine. They say, we got our rat man, and then you show up for makeup and they're like, well, we're going to have to make you look less rat like. That would have been the absolute worst version, is if they thought you were so rat looking when you showed up that that you were in the makeup chair for hours to try to make you look to bring out the man part of rat man. If they thought just like you had way too much rat coming through. Exactly. That would be the worst version.
Yeah, and we're on set and it's like take 7, director's going, yeah, cut, it's still too much rat.
He's way too much rat. I asked for rat man. This guy's just rat. Come on, let's put a Yankees cap on him or something. Anything that signifies what a human might wear.
Exactly. This is it's becoming clearer and clearer as I look back. So anyway, I'm in the chair. I'm having my rat applied, and I'm there for a couple of hours, and you know, drinking coffee with the prosthetics crew, and of course at that time of the morning it's still dark outside, and there's basically just the unit manager. Not many people have arrived yet, and at that time of the morning, if I can be delicate about it, there are certain calls of nature that perhaps coffee may even encourage. And so I had to take a small break from the prosthetics chair and go outside in my robe and my rat makeup and look for a portable turlet.
Yeah, and, the honey wagon.
Hey?
We call it the honey wagon.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. So I look out and there's one. It's, you know, on a trailer. There's a and it's attached to the back of a vehicle. And it's still pitch black. And so I go up to the door and open the door and go inside the little honey wagon. And there's no light. It's not sort of connected to any internal light. But that's fine. I've got my phone with me. So I create a little light with my phone and lock the door and spend some private time there for a moment. And perhaps the best way to describe it is just at the moment that I was at my, perhaps us as humans are, or rats, are at our most relaxed and vulnerable, I felt a vibration in the honey wagon. And the sound of a car starting and very quickly taking off, and I was in motion, moving, being towed.
They're towing away. See, you made me laugh a little bit. They're towing away the bathroom that you're currently using.
Yeah, they really are. They're towing it away.
And you're dressed like a rat. You're dressed like a rat man.
Yeah.
And did you just start screaming?
Pretty much, but the problem was we were on a football field, so it was an uneven ground. So this thing bounced around.
You're getting jostled,
like,
yeah.
I was on the back of a bucking bronco or whatever, and alarmed, and also trying to, you know, pull myself together, so to speak. Anyway, yeah,
gather yourself.
And I'm holding on inside this thing. Then it reached the edge of the football field, found the kind of driveway to the road, and then it took off. And now I'm gaining speed in this thing, being towed behind a car. Anyway, long story shorter, I forced the door open. I'm trying to get the driver's attention. It's still sort of dark. I'm flashing my phone. Eventually, he pulled up at a set of lights. I flung the door open. I crouched down, and I'll never forget the look in his eyes as he caught me in the rear vision mirror. And
he saw a rat coming at him.
And he saw
a rat man.
He saw a rat in a toilet that shouldn't have been there.
And what was their excuse? This is a great story. What was their excuse? They were just towing it away?
They were moving to another location, so we were shooting in two locations that day, and that was not a honey wagon that was meant to stay on that particular set.
Mm-hmm. And he made a mistake.
And so we pulled up at the lights. I got out of the toilet and explained to this guy. He left his one guy there so I could jump in, and he drove me back. And I saw the guy that he left by the side of the road jump on his phone, and I knew it was going to be both of them laughing, and I knew it was going to be a tough day on set. And
because now you were known as the goofball who got stuck in the toilet that got towed away.
Yeah.
Rather than this guy knocking on the door to just see if anyone's in there, like you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That you're the comic relief. You're the buffoon that day on set.
And I was for the rest of that shoot. I had about 5 days as a rat, and there was no, listen, there wasn't.
Hold on a second. How many days did you shoot as a rat on this thing?
About 5 days.
Five. That's the funniest part of this whole story. On what planet did it take 5 days to be a rat? Did you have dialogue?
Yeah, I did have dialogue. Yeah.
And what were you saying, like?
Not very germane to the storyline or the narrative, but there was some sort of, you know, like, hey, over here, sort of, you know, that sort of, you know, incidental sort
of. Is that talking. Your American voice?
Oh, yeah, it was American production, yeah.
So you're going like, let me hear a little bit of an American rat man.
Okay, that was now I can't remember the actual lines.
Don't worry, just approximate it.
Yeah, you're going to have to go over there. Us rats are not going to stand up for this. That is
exactly what Americans sound like, JM. I'm not joking. You're going to have to go over there. Like everything is very just like, well, how would you describe the American accent? Is it just very like flat?
It's flat. It's enthusiastic.
It's okay. Enthusiastic and flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to go over there. That's not the way through. Hey, what do you think you're doing, buddy?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
No, I'm American. I know that's it. I'm actually American. You're the one who I should say that's it to, because you're not. Hey, look here, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. That's
well, JM, I'm going to say this. You made me laugh. You made me laugh, JM.
Mate, that's a treasure. I loved your book,
gave me a gift. You gave me a gift, and I appreciate it. You're a sweetheart. How long are you planning to be in the States?
It's home now, mate. It really is. Amazing. It's home now. Yeah.
That's so cool to hear. I'm glad you found a new home.
That's great, man. And thank you for your book. That's a great gift for everyone.
You're very sweet. You're very sweet to say that. Well, hopefully we cross paths at some point, James. You seem like a cool person.
Cheers, mate. Well, chin up, okay?
Take care. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's a good... Not there. That's one of the best calls. That's one of the best calls on the best show. Right? That's a great one. Let's do line 5. Hello, best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Mike in Baybridge here. Been listening for years, and I thought it was time I called in. So here goes.
Uh-huh.
I got one for the topic.
Okay,
well, first let me say as we start to see the light at the end of the tunnel that is the winter of 2022, I think we are in need of deep reflection upon what we've learned and also what we've lost as we search for that connection to one another, that connection that helps us find that sense of place that each
place,
of
a us sense of place. Yeah. Hey, this is Mike. Mike, he said sense of place. Yeah. Hey, Bruce Springsteen, what's up?
I got you. You didn't think there was going to be something funny in there, did you?
What do you mean, sense of place?
No, I did. I did a line from that movie that you guys are on.
Oh, that you did. I want to say Mason. Yeah, no, that's fun. That was funny.
Oh, see, I made you, but I didn't make you laugh, though, did I?
No, it was funny. It was funny. It didn't make me laugh. I'm a hard laugh, but it was good. I appreciate the effort,
but not great.
No, it was great.
No, you don't.
Again, that. No, yeah. I can admit it. It was great. I just it's a challenge to make me laugh. I'll be the first to admit.
All right. Well,
the recording has stopped.
Recording stopped.
All right.
This meeting is being recorded.
What? Hold on, Mike.
I told John Landau I didn't want to record any of the meetings anymore after what I said about that guy, and I'm afraid it's going to get out there.
No, that's a different kind of recording. Don't worry.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'll tell you, I know I say this before, but when you remember who I am, it's a better feeling than when I think back to the births of all my children.
You really? Well, that's a pretty extreme statement.
Well, Bruce, you know, you're the best at what you do. There's nobody better.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so nice of you to say.
Yeah, what you do requires actual talent. I mean, I'm just up there dicking around for 3 hours a night, pretty much playing musical grab ass.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Bruce. That's not fair. I think what you do is amazing.
Well, thank you.
And I just said earlier to a caller from Australia, there was just a point of pride when you were an ambassador to New Jersey.
Oh man, thank you. And that means a lot. That means a lot. You know, people don't know that I still get really nervous up there.
You do?
I do. And, you know, to kind of combat that, I dilate my pupils so I can't see the audience.
What do you mean? You, like, blur your vision?
Yeah, you know how, like, when you go get an eye test, sometimes you got to dilate them, you got to kind of and make them out of focus, and then you're kind of screwed up for a couple hours?
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's what happens at the optometrist. Yeah.
Well, I have an optometrist who travels with us on tour.
Why do they travel with you?
So he can dilate my pupils. You know, like if I'm up there on stage and it's like hour two and I'm starting to be able to see again, I just bop over to his side of the stage and he fogs me.
He fogs you. That's what you call it?
That's what he calls it. Yeah, he said that's the medical term for it.
The medical term for dilating your pupils is for you to get fogged?
Yeah, get fogged.
Yeah, I never heard that. But look, you learn something new every day, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Hey, remember a few weeks ago when I said sometimes I get ideas out of nowhere, like Bill from Night Shift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the other day I had an amazing surefire money-making idea.
Okay. Well, can you share it with us?
I got two words for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Fried salad.
Fried salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me more about how fried salad would be a huge money-making idea.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know what it is, but it's very intriguing, right? Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, so you just think that fried salad, you don't have any context for that. You just feel in your bones that that's a concept.
Well, you know, it hits your health button. That's the salad part. But it's fried, so it also hits your skank button.
Your skank. I didn't know we had skank buttons in us.
We all. Ever been to church? That's right in the Ten Commandments. Ye shall not mess with thou's skank button.
I don't know if that's literally a biblical quote.
I don't know. Look, I don't have time to devote to the R&D for something like this, but I'd be more than willing to lend one of my songs to the ad campaign.
Okay. So it wouldn't be, you would be willing, would it be like billed as Bruce Springsteen's Skank Button?
Oh, come on, no!
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant Bruce Springsteen's Fried Salad, not Skank. Yeah. We all have a Skank Button, you can't advertise that.
No, you can't. You got to let someone just find out about it.
Or what if the ad said Bruce Springsteen's fried salad, and then it's just like a little picture of you on the packaging with a little cartoon bubble coming out of your mouth saying, like, fried salad presses my health button and my skank button.
Writing this down. Button. I love it. That's great. And I was thinking, I don't know, just, you know, off the top of my head here, just kind of riffing, you know, a song could be something like, Rosalita, try a fried salad. Senorita, come sit by my salad. Sounds like I'm shoehorning, doesn't it?
Sounds like you're jamming the words in a little bit to make that one work.
Yeah. I can workshop the heck out of this and make it much more natural. I'll just have to come back to that one. But I love that we've discussed it. Hey, did you see
Do you want me to pitch you? Can I pitch you something?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, little girl, is your appetite on? Do you want to get something nice and warm? Yeah. I got a strange desire. Whoa, this salad's fried.
I love it, but like we discussed a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sharing that publishing with Midas Mufflers.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Remember? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
then how about this? Boom, 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 boom. I'm riding in my car. Boom, 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 boom. I want some food. Dun, 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 dun. I want something healthy. But you want something that presses your skank button. Well, that's a little, see, now I'm shoehorning. Never mind.
Yeah, that's a lot of words. It's weird. Like,
that's a lot of words. It's not easy what you do, Bruce.
No, yeah.
I just learned firsthand.
You did. It's not easy. Workshop.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's come back to that. Did you hear that they found Shackleton's ship at the bottom of the Antarctic?
No.
They did, yeah. Yeah, they found it. It was a big story in the Times. You know, they found the wreck, and the wreck happened like 106 years ago. So, unfortunately, there was only one survivor.
Wait, there was a survivor on it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's insane. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the dudes lived. He was apparently a stowaway. And I think his name was Mickey, and he survived on ice and ice water.
For how long?
I don't know, 106 years.
So they just found a dude named Mickey who is, I'm assuming, at his youngest, assuming, I'm just going to round all the way down and say he was a 10 years old when he was a stowaway. Still right. Very young for a stowaway.
Right.
So he's 100, they found a 116-year-old man.
Yes.
Who's been living on on ice.
And ice water.
And ice water, okay.
Guess what his body fat was?
What?
-1.
Well, that actually makes perfect sense. I don't know how he could have any body fat.
Yeah, he went in. His body fat went in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wild story. I didn't hear that.
Guess how long his beard was when they found him?
How long?
8 Billy Gibbonses.
Wow, that's some kind of beard. 8 Billy Gibbonses worth of beard.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's a real gift to humanity. So I say, God bless you, Mickey.
I love it. Yeah. You know what's weird? Like I'm a beach guy. Like you know, I'm pretty much known as the beach guy of rock and roll. But I never loved being on boats.
Okay, you just don't actually like the sensation of being on a boat. No. What don't you like?
I know it's a cliche, but I'll be honest. Jaws did my head in.
Wow. So for that long, you've had a fear of boats.
Well, it got better, but I was afraid of boats and water, you know, for like 5 years, you know, and I smelled so bad because I stayed away from all water. So I really stunk and people were starting to call me Gross Springsteen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I hate it. But you got over it.
I did, and I hated that nickname. I thought it was weak, and I tried to get them to call me Bruce Stinkstein, but it didn't take.
No, I would actually agree with you on that. Even if that was my nickname, if my name was Bruce Springsteen and people started calling me Gross Springsteen, I'd be just like, can you come up with something a little more on point?
I know, but it didn't take. Like when you tried to get your friends to call you Rockin' Dr. Cool in community college.
Yeah, it didn't take.
Do you want to tell us what they did call you?
What's that?
Do you want to tell us what they did call you?
Do you want me to say it?
Yes.
You're really going to make me say it.
I looked it up on your wiki, yeah.
Yeah, Toilet Man. Really like that, huh, Bruce?
I do, yeah, it makes me laugh. But, you know, like I said, I did overcome that fear of boats in the water, and my shrink said that in order to take the fear out of something, we need to become it, or we have to let it become part of us.
Okay, so how did you specifically utilize that to overcome your fear?
Well, he said one of the ways people do that is to get a tattoo that reminds us of the fear and helps us minimize that fear. So I did that.
You got a tattoo.
I did, yeah. And I didn't want to get one of those predictable Jaws tattoos that people always get. You know, the shark coming out, coming up through the water.
Sure.
The shark's view of the lady's legs from underneath.
Yeah, you wanted to come up with a new, like a Jaws image that was not really well used.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what did you do?
Nothing like those two that I mentioned, you know, or Mrs. Kintner slapping the shit out of Brody's face.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So I got a tattoo of what I think most sane people would agree is the second greatest line ever uttered in a film. Number one, of course, being Brian Doyle Murray's unparalleled delivery of "We like to send out a mailer" in National Lampoon's Vacation. So I got the iconic line from Jaws when the shark is circling the orca and it takes a big bite out of the boat and the shark says, "This boat needs to be a way bigger."
Yeah, you really captured the nuance of the acting with that, too.
Thank you.
It was a very subtle performance. Not an easy place to get to. And I really think you have a feel for that. Like, you have a real feel for drama.
Thank you. And, you know, it's interesting. The shark says that because the boat tastes so good. That's the main through line for all those Jaws sequels.
Is that the boat tastes so good?
Yeah. See, word had already gotten around in the shark world that there was this new boat up above that tastes it better than all the other boats they ever crunched up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so when they blew up the shark, all the other sharks assumed, maybe rightfully, that the orca was a super tasty ship. Otherwise, they wouldn't have tried so hard to keep the shark away from it. And then from then on, the goal of all the sharks in the sequels was to find this mythical Nobu of fishing boats.
Yeah, this tasty boat.
Yes, yeah. I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Well, that is very interesting. They could have called the movies like Jaws 3, Quest for the Tasty Boat.
Right.
And done it more from the shark's point of view. That would be something else.
I would like that. Yeah. Hey, you know what's kind of happening inside my brain right now?
What's that, Bruce?
That the boat talk we just did has given me a great movie idea.
Okay. What's the movie idea?
Well, it could be a whole franchise, and the name of it, The Sleaze Family Robinson.
Wait, the what?
Sleaze Family Robinson. I don't know. Like, maybe it's a family that works in the erotic film world, and their boat gets lost, and they shipwreck somewhere, and I don't know, maybe there's natives, maybe they find a baseball glove from another dimension in a cave, and that leads to a whole alternate reality. It kind of writes itself, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the idea of just all you need to say is, like, a baseball glove from another dimension, and it just, like, you just sit back and then see how it writes itself.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's one of those ones where I would say if you were writing, you'd almost feel like some sort of higher power was working through you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're almost a spectator.
I'm a receiver at that point.
Yes. You're all you are is a conduit.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, check this out. So,
yeah, Bruce?
Last night I was watching, remember that old show, Adam 12?
An old cop show from the 70s? I mean, I never saw it. I know of it, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was this episode where Mickey Dolenz plays a motorcycle hood.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, Mickey is the best. I've had so many great times with him over the years, and, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say a bad word about him. Same, uh-huh. with, uh, Same with Gary Shandling. Those two are just untouchable.
Yeah, those are the ones that nobody can come up with a single thing, eh?
That's right.
Well, look, I had a minor incident with Mickey Dolenz that I would consider water under the bridge at this point. But Gary Shandling, not so much. He went out giving me the business, and that one didn't get righted.
Well, you guys can settle it in heaven, right? Someday.
I guess we could settle it in heaven someday.
I think so. Hey, look, but I know this is a bad look for the boss, but man, Kent McCord, the guy that played Officer Jim Reed on Adam 12.
Yeah.
Maybe the least charismatic TV star of all time.
Hold on a second. You're saying that Kent McCord from Adam 12?
Yeah.
Is not wildly charismatic?
Yeah. No offense to the man, but he makes Jay Farrar look like 1978 Robin Williams on Carson following a Tom Waits after party in the back room of Doug Weston's Troubadour.
They always got to mention as if like the Troubadour wasn't enough for Doug Weston.
What's this guy's deal?
Yeah. Like people would be just like, hey, we're going to the Troubadour tonight. And he's just like, they don't say my name. This is so hurtful. And everybody else is probably just like, Doug, we got lines down the street of people waiting to get in here. What are you so mad about?
Right. And the same thing happened in the movie Gimme Shelter. Remember that? They lose the one spot to have the free show, and then the guy with the speedway, he comes on all strong. It's like, you can do it at my place. And they arrange for it to be at the Altamont Speedway, and he keeps going, make sure you call it Dick Carter's Altamont Speedway.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say one of the best things that ever happened to Dick Carter.
Yeah.
Is that people disregarded him when he demanded the branding for the Altamont show.
It's true. Yeah. Hey, you know, Kent McCord's, his character's name in Adam 12, as I said earlier, was Officer Jim Reed. It's like one of those uber generic names for one of those Elvis movie characters.
Yeah, Officer Jim Reed.
Yes. So I go to Kent's wiki page, Tom. He was in 5 of those Elvis movies.
Kent McCormick.
Kent McCore! Show him some respect.
Kent McCore.
Yes, yeah. It was just background shit, but you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he did. He appeared in some Elvis movies. That's kind of cool.
He did, yeah. You know what's interesting about this particular Adam 12 episode is that the motorcycle racing scenes must have been shot in Korea.
Why is that?
Well, it's the same exact locations as that war documentary series that ran during that same time called MASH.
Yeah, I don't know if MASH was filmed in Korea, though. I think MASH was filmed right here in Los Angeles.
Well, I guess we could argue about that all night.
Yeah, I don't know if that argument would take all night, though, Bruce.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough. Hey, remember when I was talking about those tapes of songs I found in the 90s that were kind of written in decidedly non-boss genres?
Yes.
Well, I found another tape from that era.
Okay, what's it all about?
Remember Quiet Storm music?
Sure.
Kind of like laid back, smooth, romantic R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried my hand at that big time when it was hot.
Okay. You really?
I did, yeah.
Okay. What was the goal? To do an album of Quiet Storm, potentially?
I did a whole album, and I found the tape and these song titles. Oh, my God.
Like what? Let's hear some of them.
No way.
Come on, Bruce.
No way.
Just give us a couple. Come on.
All right.
Because Quiet Storm is generally like, who would be some of the biggest artists for that?
Well, like
Anita Baker.
Yeah, maybe like Luther Vandross, stuff like that. That kind of sure. thing. Sure. All right. So all right. Here we go. Feel My Fire. Need That Thing. Love Runs Deep. Feel My Flame. Let's Make a Sheet Tsunami. The Naked Truth. Feel My Thunder. Want to Get On That. Let Me Do You. Feel My Fire Some More. Let You Do Me. I'm Beating Them Off With a Stick. That one got messed up at the studio when they miswrote down the title. And when Yentikov saw it, what he thought was the title, he went ballistic. Basically, what happened was they left off the parenthetical with a stick. So it was, you know, you can imagine what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Like. No, that he thought it was much more raunchy.
Exactly, yeah. So Walter calls up and he barks at me. If I wanted porno rock, I'd have signed Gigi Allen when I first heard Sluts in the City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a refrain that you heard from a lot of music executives, I'm sure, over the years.
All of them, yeah. Yeah, Doug Morris at Atlantic, he really wanted that bad.
Okay, so a lot of I'm noticing in these song titles, Bruce.
Yeah.
A lot of feeling of fire happening.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to feel the flames of passion at all times. Mm. But I'll tell you, the weirdest song on this tape is called Next Level Love.
Okay. What is Next Level Love like?
Well, Tom, I know I severely endangered my standing as your all-time bestie when I said the S word earlier. I could feel it in your voice.
Okay.
But can I drop a super minor F-bomb if I do it real quiet?
All right.
Or can I substitute a word for it?
Substitute a word for it, Bruce.
All right, how about tapping?
Okay.
All right, it was something like, you know, super slow, too, like, lady, we've been there for each other through the good times and the bad. And there's one thing I know for sure. We gotta be tapping if I'm ever getting out of the friend zone.
Wow, that's a... Well, look, first of all, vocally, that's an interesting song. A lot of interesting vocal choices for you.
I was getting out there.
Yeah. Like usually don't hear, like, you do a little... Like, you don't get that usually... With your singing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I needed something else. It's like, I looked in the mirror and I said, boss, we're not in Candy's room no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it took me, right?
It took you to some interesting places.
It absolutely, oh no.
Wait, well, what's wrong?
Oh no.
Bruce, what's wrong?
Well, I guess what they say about the best show being the number one podcast of New Jersey's honorary police deputies is true.
Oh, I don't like that, but why? What's going on?
Well, I forgot that Kent McCord lived here in Monmouth County back in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And his honorary sheriff title grants him the right to perform the same duties that active cops can.
Okay.
And that apparently includes cuffing my wrists to my haunches and dragging my sweet ass to the hut.
Because you said he was not charismatic?
Yes. Yeah, he's still taking offense to it, I guess. I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know he was alive. Oh, man.
So you're being arrested. Bruce, this, look, this is not going to stand up in court.
He said it's hate speech.
Well, maybe that's true.
It might be, but you know, Tom?
What's that, Bruce?
No offense, but I've never even set foot in a jail before I met you, and now I can't stay out of them.
Yeah, you've really starting to put together a real criminal record there, huh?
I am. It's so weird. At 73, who would have thought?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, man. All right, well, look, it looks like I might be going for a little bit. Tell Patty I'm playing Wacky Packages over at Rachel Boland's again, okay?
Okay. I'll tell Patty you're hanging out with Rachel Boland from Skid Row.
All right. Thank you, my man.
Again. Well, best of luck to you, Bruce.
All right, Officer McCoy. Well, I can't really walk, so I guess I'll just kind of roll behind you. All right, Tom. Later day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Bye. That's crazy. Bruce Springsteen yet again calling the show. Let's see. Pat, we got any other calls?
Yeah, we got the Full House.
Full House. Give me who's been on hold the longest, please.
Okay, we got 55 minutes.
Let's do it.
Well, best of luck to you, Bruce.
Hello, hi, best show.
Bested, how you doing?
Good. How are you? To whom am I speaking?
Rick, calling from upstate New York.
Rick?
Eric.
Eric. What's up, Eric? You sound very determined. You sound like the kind of person that doesn't suffer fools. Is that fair to say?
You know, like Mike would say, straight shooter.
Yeah. Like Mike would say, straight shooter.
The recording has stopped.
Recording stopped. Okay. So I will say this to you, Eric. What do you got for me?
Well, have you ever bid on like an auction site or some type of thing like that? And then
like eBay?
Yeah, like eBay.
Yeah. And as soon as what?
As soon as somebody outbids you, you are just so thankful and relieved because you never should have been doing that anyway.
Oh my God. Have I experienced that? That is you're tapping into a very unique, subtle experience when you're just like, it's like a splash of cold water of reality across your face.
You got to play a little bit, but you didn't actually have to spend any money or.
Exactly. It's like getting out of a casino. It's like breaking even at a casino after playing for a while, though. I missed part of what you're saying there, buddy.
Better than actually winning the thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So what happened?
Time that we spoke, I got all excited, and I guess I was the only person to bid, but I guess I now own 6 ties and 4 belts that supposedly belong to Don Rickles.
Hold on, so you're on the wrong end of it then. You bid on something and then won it, because your phone was cutting out for a minute there.
I'm sorry, is that better?
Oh, that is better. So, Eric, you bid, because there was a Don Rickles estate auction a few weeks ago, month or so ago. You bid on some belts and ties?
Yeah, I called in and we were talking about it and looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, that's right. And you bid,
going through
you
everything.
Bid on some belts and ties, and you won.
One bid, and that was it. Nobody wanted them, I guess.
So you were praying that somebody else would slide in there And so you didn't have to own any of Don Rickles' ties?
I guess so. I mean, I just kind of assumed that there would be more than the, you know, intro bid. I don't know.
Can we talk about how much you paid?
A couple hundred bucks.
For how many items?
It was two items. One was six ties, and the other one was, I believe, four belts. And I still haven't actually gotten them because the auction company does not ship, and they are in L.A. So,
wow. Sounds like somebody needs somebody to run by and pick them up and then maybe keep a tie as the cost of the price of doing business.
Should I send you their address?
I'll say this. Six belts and four ties?
I think it was the other way around, but they're kind
of
the same
thing,
right?
Six ties and four belts?
Yep.
Six ties and four belts. This is what I'll say to you. What seems fair? What seems fair to you if I run over and pick that stuff up?
One or two belts and two or three ties.
That's a little, I'm going to say this on your behalf. That's a little steep. One and one.
Done.
Yeah, that seems a little steep. I want to be fair to you. You have my email?
I probably find it.
Yeah, hit me up. We'll set
Will
this
do.
Up. I'm serious Will about do. This. I'll run over and pick it up.
That's
then I'll
great.
Mail you your belts and ties back.
And you get first dibs then, right?
I get first dibs.
Yeah.
On it. And then I get to show up at like a thing wearing one of Don Rickles' ties.
Yeah, that's why I did it. And I was like, all right, now I have to like frantically search for pictures of him where he's wearing these things to prove it, right?
Yeah. Well, buddy, hit me up. I'm not joking. I'll go over and pick up your belts and ties. And then I'll have a Don Rickles tie. And then the people see me wearing a Don Rickles tie at a thing.
What a deal. I think we can make that happen.
And then I'll ship them out to you.
I got one other thing I want to tell you about.
What do you got, my friend? You're serious. You're not going to wait. You're going to follow up on this, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because now I want this tie.
Yeah, we're doing it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hit me up on Twitter. You can hit me up on Twitter. You just tweet at me and go, "Hey, Tom, it's Eric."
I'm not on Twitter. How about Instagram?
Hit me up on Instagram.
Sounds good.
Message me on Instagram. I love it. I love it. So, what else you got for me?
Well, I was gonna say I'm excited about the new book club. I'm a Knicks fan, so those are some wild years. I'm going to read this one.
They are because the Best Show Book Club. The next installment is called The Garden. What is it called?
Blood in the Garden.
Blood in the Garden.
The flagrant and it's about the New York history, Knicks. I think.
The flagrant history of the 1990s New York Knicks. I will say this: as I started reading this book, it made me sad. Why? Because I know what happens.
Ugh.
I mean, look, they tell you right in the beginning of the book. They tell you right in the beginning. And it ain't hard to read. It's not like any spoiler that they don't win a championship. It's kind of public knowledge. But it's making me a little sad because I remember all the suffering through those years. But I'm also into it. It's good. It's a good book so far.
And you remember thinking like that one year, like they're going to play Houston. We got this one. This is our one chance. No way.
You mean in 94?
Yeah, like it's like the one time it wasn't, you know, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. It was not fun. A whole lot of not fun. A whole lot of not fun.
Bleeping I just read
Rockets.
A book.
Bleeping Rockets. Of all the teams, the Rockets slid in there and won two championships before Jordan came back. The Rockets. Yep. Look, Olajuwon is is amazing. All-time greats. Just watching Olajuwon play, Hakeem Olajuwon, total thing of beauty. His footwork, next level, great. I'm never gonna put him down. But the rest of that team was just such a group of bums and a group of nobodies, which I guess makes sense. The Knicks were ultimately a group of nobodies too, so it's fair.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what everyone should have been saying about the Knicks when you know they won. But
yeah, well. God bless everybody. Well, I'm gonna finish the book hopefully in the next week, and then we'll do another Best Show Book Club. We'll also do the final episode of So Far. It's coming up. I had to postpone because I had COVID. Boy, oh boy, I'm gonna say that. Not fun. Don't get it. If you can avoid it, don't get it. It's not good.
I'm still right, trying not to.
What's that?
I am still trying not to. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep trying. Keep trying. Yeah. Don't get it. All right, buddy. Hit me up and we'll work out the ties.
We'll do. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. That's the best opportunity I ever got. This guy's gonna throw me a couple ties, and maybe I lowballed him for myself on the thing. I just want something. I'm not in it to take this guy to the cleaner. He's the one who paid for all of it. I'll run over and pick it up, and I'll get a tie, one of Don Rickles ties and one of Don Rickles belts. I'm being told there's a friend on line 6 is what I'm being told. Pat, can you give me line 6, please? And I also want to say tonight, we are going to end the show early. We have some personal circumstances. Pat, you tell me when you got a boogie, and we'll time out the remaining calls. How many calls do we have left, Pat?
After this, we have 3.
We'll take these 3 calls and then wrap it up. Unfortunately, it's just the reality of things, real life. And you know, look, I'm not feeling great either. Still, my health is still it's up and down. I got to just say, the energy, the fatigue, that's a challenge, man. We're up and down. So we're all doing the best we can. We're getting stronger in real time. So I'm going to go back to the phones. Best Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom, it's Jeff.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. As I live and breathe, this is one of the gets in the biz. One of the gets. This is a top director, a guy who's directed some of the biggies, whether it be a David Fair or a Daniel Johnston or a JT Leroy. Can he direct actors? Of course he can. He directs them all the time. It's not a thing. But the trick is you go talk to Martin Scorsese. Oh, you got a great performance out of Robert De Niro? Oh, whoop-de-doo. It's Robert De Niro. This guy's pulling Robert De Niro level performances out of people who ain't Robert De Niro. I'll tell you that. That's the trick.
You don't think Chuck Wepner was Robert De Niro?
No, I'm saying you made Chuck Wepner feel and look like Robert De Niro on the screen. You did the best thing. You did the nicest thing you could have ever done for that guy. Is making him look like a champ. Literally made him look like a champ. This is Jeff Fierzig, the director. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, the reason I'm calling, I saw the topic
and I'm sorry you've been having a tough time. I think I saw you right before you got unwell, and we had a great night out.
Yeah.
And then you were down for the count, but now you're back. I love it.
I'm back. We're back. We're fighting. We're fighting the fight.
Anyway, you know, we might as well have strung a tin can, because what people don't know about East L.A., where we're both now residing, it's really West New Jersey, you know? People don't know that yet.
I didn't.
But anyway, well, might as well be. We're here, right?
That's true. That's down. Two.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw in the news this week, it caught my eye. My heart is still in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
This gas pump thing of pumping, you know, New Jerseyans pumping, not allowed to pump their own gas. You know, I want to see how you feel about it. I know what I heard my whole life growing up in Jersey, because that's all you only know what you know, right?
Yeah, and for people who aren't sure what we're talking about, in New Jersey's one of the few states, if I think there might be one other state, I can't remember which one, but
well.
It's a rare, it's rare. New Jersey, well, you legally cannot pump your own gas. If you go to a gas station, an attendant is on service. They operate the pump. Everywhere else,
correct,
that's on you. You get out, you put the credit card in, you lift the pump, all of it's on you. New Jersey,
right.
No, you can't do it. So what's going on now?
Well, it's finally up again for legislation that it might happen. New Jerseyans might be able to pump their own gas. And all I remember, you know, even over the years, people would say, you know, why can't you pump your own gas? And I told the story I was told, that just like the Grucci factory in Long Island in 1983, I was told there was a guy, he was smoking a cigarette, he's pumping his gas, and boom. He blew up the gas station. That's what I was told. Okay. And that from that point on, you're not allowed to pump your own gas. Matter of fact, I did some research that, you know, they can issue a ticket in New Jersey to this day if you're caught pumping your own gas. And that was the story I was told. What did you know growing up?
I heard growing up maybe something a little less exciting, but I was told that, oh, your taxes pay for it, and don't worry. They get it from you on the tax side of things. You are definitely paying for the privilege of not being able to pump your own gas.
All right,
that's what I was told. But I have very strong feelings about it.
Oh, I figure you would. Matter of fact, I mean, I'll tell you what I learned, because I wanted to get to the bottom of this. It was kind of like a bit of a rabbit hole, and I was like, what happened? Who was this guy that got blown up, you know? And there has to be something written about the guy, right, that changed gas pumping history in New Jersey. First of all, let's clarify two things. Oregon and Jersey were the two states up until literally a few years ago, 2015, where you couldn't pump your own gas. Now Jersey, two states, just like the Pavement song, right?
Just like Pavement said, just like Marky Smith said.
Yeah.
And then Pavement also said. That's one of the biggest. That's one of the. When people say, like, oh, Pavement just lifted stuff from the fall, it's like you hear that song and you're just like, yeah, well, that's a straight up lift. But that's fine. I'm not putting down lifting stuff from people, but that is a lift.
No. You know what? It's a great lift and I love it. And the fact is, it was Jersey, two states, Jersey and Oregon. But then Oregon somehow flipped it. Well, anyway, so I did some research because I wanted to know, you know, and it was a bit of a rabbit hole. It was funny because it happened on Twitter with Pat Byrne. I had this flashback to this old Springsteen bootleg that I still own. You could trust your car to the man who wears the star. And it's a cover of Springsteen, a cartoon of him pumping gas, you know?
Okay.
And Pat
responded. What is that, a reference to being a Texaco employee?
Right, exactly right. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious, that's so interesting. So I started researching this a little bit, and I always love that record that's got Mountain of Love on it, which is you know, as you know, from the Beach Boys party song, the underrated.
Sure, the Beach Boys the Beach Boys took a crack at Mountain of Love.
Yeah, and so did Springsteen. And I always loved it. That was probably where I might have learned the Harold Dorman song from, that bootleg.
Okay.
Crush Your Car. But then, you know, we're going to flash forward. So years later, Springsteen writes this great book. And what I thought was the greatest thing in the whole book, this is the guy that, as you know, the guy mastered in the car and racing and the engine. He admitted he knew nothing about cars or anything about it. He knew as much about cars as Brian Wilson knew about surfing. It was all fiction, it turned out. He outed himself in the book. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Well, anyway, it turns out all roads, first of all, the guy who got blown up, I heard he might have been from Lodi. That's what I heard. Right? So you think, you know, you can think about that for a minute. But it turns out all roads lead to Hackensack. All right.
Okay.
And what really went down was in 1949, believe it or not, a guy named Irving Rheingold, not the beer family.
Okay.
For 3 cents a gallon, he has this idea. He opens a 24 pump station on Route 17 in Hackensack, right? And he's charging 21.9. Excuse me. His competition is charging 21.9 cents per gallon. He decides he's going to undercut them all and do 18.9 cents. And the competition went ballistic to the point where this is 1949. They got out Gatling guns. He had to have bulletproof glass. And there was like a turf war over this because he was going to basically eliminate the labor and pass the savings on to the customers. And
so he opens self-serve pump. He figures,
right.
Pumps their own gas, I can throw a 10 cents per gallon savings to the customer.
No, 3 cents.
3 cents.
3 cents. Yeah, 3 cents in 1949. It's like 10 cents now, though. Think about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is Jersey the last holdout, Jersey was the innovator, the first in 1949, of the self-serve gas. See, no, people don't remember that. It's very important.
Okay.
So that was his innovation. Anyway, he got clobbered, and the legislation went through over the safety issue, which is pure fiction, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, nobody was blown up, and I went looking, I really dug for this. Like, did someone get blown up? And it turns out, believe it or not, back in Hackensack, flash forward to 2018, that was just a few years ago, and there's a guy, and he did blow up the station in Hackensack. Do you believe it?
Okay.
But, ironically, not from a cigarette. You know what he did? It was not... That's what was so fascinating. It was not a self-serve accident. It was a full-serve accident because he's not allowed to pump in Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So what happened? He was, texting, looking at his phone, daydreaming. What does he do? He pulls out with the pump, with the pump thing and still in his tank and drives away. And then it set off a spark and he blew up the gas station in Hackensack. It's unbelievable. All roads lead back to Hackensack.
So that's anyway. That's what gave the state the impetus to eliminate this, or it was just straight up that guy. The explosion was independent of the reason why the pump your own gas law got put into place.
That's correct. Yeah, it's totally separate. It's year. Once again, it's years later. I did do some research. There's a guy in Arkansas who long ago did in fact with a cigarette blow up the gas station. Mm-hmm. So, it can happen. I'm not going to say it can't, but as far as it's like a lot of Jersey stuff is myth,
Yeah.
It's just not what happened,
But well, I know one thing that did happen was in Philly, they blew up, the Chicken Man. They blew up the Chicken Man in Philly.
They did.
And they blew up his house too. I know that happened.
Right. Now, I'll tell you something that didn't happen, and I'll tell you something that did happen.
Okay.
So when you see it, everyone can Google it up and look at that Springsteen shot where he's holding the pump on that bootleg, right?
Mm-hmm.
He never pumped Springsteen never pumped his own gas, just like he didn't know about the Hemi powered engine.
Yeah.
It's all fiction. But do you know who did pump gas? Do you know who did?
I'm going to say Little Steven.
No, me.
You.
I was a Hess. I called my friend DeSalvo to verify this. I had a lot of bad jobs in high school. And I forgot that for 2 weeks I wore the white Hess jumpsuit.
Uh-huh.
34 in Matawan. I mean,
okay.
It looked just like Clockwork Orange. It looked really cool. It was like they had the cleanest gas station Hess. I don't know if you remember those. But yeah.
I remember those Hess trucks. Boy, they were fun.
Yeah, sure. Anyway.
We'll slide them around on Christmas morning.
This is, I guess, it's kind of personal to me that maybe we're not going to, you know, have someone pumping our gas anymore. But, I mean, where do you stand on this?
This is where I stand on it. I think New Jersey, the people of New Jersey should fight to preserve the privilege of having somebody else just come out and pump your own gas. Trust me, you're in a state without it. It's going to be a novelty for about 5 days. And then the first time you go fill up your gas, you're going to be like, ooh, look at this. Oh, wow. This is wild. Second time you do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm filling up my own gas. Huh? Okay. I guess I do it myself now. Third time, you're going to dread it. You're going to wish you didn't have to get out and do it.
Well, we agree. I think Jersey should stay firm on what they have. We're the last state, of course, to preserve this tradition. And what about the squeegeeing? And what about, you know, checking the oil? It's a real job. It applies good jobs. You know, I did the job. I did it for a bit.
Yeah, so, get somebody out there. Look, it's I just feel like there's something special about it, and to quote a Philly adjacent band, a Jersey adjacent band, Cinderella said, Tom Kiefer said, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Well,
and you aren't going to know what you got until that's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Well, Jeff, that is an amazing Jersey story.
Yeah, well, it's a true story. So,
I wouldn't expect anything less from you. I know you're not making these up.
No.
You talk. It's going to get real deal, real talk from Jeff F.
Thank you. So, listen, I'm going to let you go because you got other callers, and I know you want to end this a little soon tonight. But I'm going to leave you with the words of another great New Jerseyan. Cough cool, Tom.
There you go. You think he's out there pumping his gas? No, he pulls into an LA station, just sits there until somebody finally comes out and does it for him.
You think?
Yeah, you think Danzig's going to be working the pump, saying, well, what am I doing, the 87 or the 89? What am I doing here? Oh, my credit card, what's the billing zip code? He's doing none of that. Yeah. He pulls up, they're at the gas station, they're just like, there's a guy and somebody's parked out there in a hearse at the pump, and they're not moving, and they're finally like, ah, that's Glenn, and they go out and pump it for him.
Well, listen, in Ugly Things, one of the best issues ever, Glenn, in the salad days, the early days of Glenn, he was on the living room floor with the Elmer's glue and all the labels, and he'd put his own labels on the Plan 9 records in Lodi. So Glenn, he was able to do it then. He could probably learn to pump now.
I'm not saying he couldn't. I'm just saying he won't.
Yeah.
So it's not befitting.
Okay. What about Jerry Only? You think he would?
Yeah, I think Jerry would get out there and pump his own gas. I think Jerry would. I think Doyle would.
You think Doyle would?
I think the rest of them would, yeah.
They pump a lot of iron, you know.
They do. That's why, that wouldn't faze them. They'd get out, probably go get some run, start pumping the gas, run inside, get a little quick thing of Muscle Milk, then get back behind, get out there just in time to have the pump, just have the tank fill up.
I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Anyway. We're going to wrap it up because we got to.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Think? I'll talk to you soon.
I will.
Okay. Bye. Yeah. Good guy. Good guy. Jeff Fearson. Good guy. Good guy. Pat, give me the next call, please.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Greg Gethard.
Oh, my God. It's Greg Gethard. Haven't spoken to this guy in a million years. How are you? How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
How are you?
Somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn to tell me to call in when I could, and I can.
No, okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. It's nice LinkedIn. To hear your voice. How are you?
Great. I'm good. I will be. I saw the topic, and I had one for you that I think you'd like a lot. It involves a place I think you're probably fond of. I believe you talked about before, Panera Bread.
Yes, yes. I used to have a big thing with Panera Bread. Not so much lately, but it made its mark on me.
Well. I'm a fan of Panera Bread as well, and I went to Panera once during a lunch break in the suburbs here, and it was crowded in the back area where you pick up your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like you can see in where they make the magic behind, like those they have like the little cubicle wall. You know what I mean?
They have like a raised platform that they're making the food on, and you see the heads and arms of the Panera crew making the sandwiches, and you can't see anything else really.
Exactly. And I was waiting there, and the manager is a woman, and she started screaming. She balled up her fists like real angry, like she's about to punch one of her workers, and she just started screaming, "Where are all the bread bowls? Where are all the effing bread bowls?" And then she calmly walked away and took a few paces towards like a back area where she then started to do like this like mindfulness meditative breathing and counted down from 10 to regain her composure and back to, you know, like she lost the anger that had came up, and then she came up to those of us who are waiting and apologized for the wait for any of us who had a bread bowl order. And nobody even noticed this but me.
Well, that's amazing that you were there to see basically a full dramatic arc of somebody.
Yes. Yeah. And I like was just like immediately putting in like the whole backstory is probably, you know, like she'd been like reviewed by like a regional manager,
mm-hmm.
somebody who said like, you know, Claire, you're doing a really good job here, but you lose it a little too much. You know, gave her like some training videos and maybe some like management books and things like that. You got a lot of potential, but you can't scream at your employees anytime you don't get your way.
You got to hold it together. You're the face. You're the face of the company, and it's a top down endeavor. You start yelling at people, they're gonna yell at people as well. You've given permission to make this a place where people yell at each other.
Yeah. And we can't have that at the Wayne, Pennsylvania Panera. What we need we need you, Claire, to she's the link. She's the rock
Tighten it up. Claire, go into the bathroom, splash some cold water on your face. And pull it together and get back out here on the floor and deliver.
Yeah. You might want to check something out called the Calm app, Claire. Listen to when you get a few. You know, it's going to be really helpful.
Like, we don't know the pressure that this employee was under. This could be there could be some sort of thing. It could be like Uncut Gems or something. This could be like a Panera Bread uncut, unsliced gems.
Like she's involved in a caper of some kind.
Yeah, maybe there's some sort of thing where Claire staggers the Postmates orders, and then it turns out that that she's shaving money off of it. It's just like, who knows?
Right. Yeah, she's got like a $60 bet on the Grizzlies Pacers game tonight or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and she's she's got some kind of, it's connected to Postmates, definitely Uber Eats orders.
You don't know. Yeah. There could be some sort of thing where it just, yeah. And this is the bread bowls. It all hinges on the bread bowls.
Yep.
And suddenly Claire's watching all this money just fly away when these bread bowls aren't getting put out.
Yeah. I see it. I see it. I think it's a great movie.
I love it. Well, Greg, unfortunately, I have to move it along. I'd love to talk to you more.
You feel better. I'll call back.
Thanks, buddy. Of course. You have a great night. Yep.
You too.
Bye-bye. Good to hear from Greg Gethard. Good guy. Final call, Pat?
We have two on hold.
Two on hold. Let's do it real fast. Hello, Basham.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Colette from Athens.
Oh, my goodness. We're getting all the all-stars calling up right in the home stretch. We got to, because there's some personal, unfortunate real-life business that has to be attended to that makes it so the show has to end early tonight. And that's how life works, baby. So what's going on, Claire? Colette? You're not Claire. the fictional Panera Bread employee that we were just creating a life for, a name and a life. No, you're Colette. You're not a Panera Bread employee yet.
That's true. Never have been.
No, never have been. Don't never say never, though. The two of us could be side by side filling those bread bowls.
I worked retail before. I'll work it again.
That's my, are you kidding? I swear that is, I grew up doing retail, and I assume at some point I'll be back behind a counter and I'll be like, okay.
How can I help you?
Yeah. To what do I have the pleasure of this call, Colette?
Well, I was going to try to make you laugh, I guess.
Please.
It might be more of a sensible chuckle sort of deal.
That counts.
Okay, good. It counts. So a couple of weeks ago, my friend and I were watching this movie called Johnny Guitar, which is like a Western.
Yes.
Where like Sterling Hayden talks in this big brassy voice. There's two women in it. They want to kill each other. It's pretty good.
Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, yeah. And some Irish woman whose name I forget. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, there's like this throwaway line where I think Johnny Guitar is like saying to someone who's going outside to not search for any four-leaf clovers. And I look across the couch at my friend and sigh, like, you know, wistfully, like, and I say, I remember when I thought four-leaf clovers were real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that was a good chuckle.
Yeah, good. Yeah, there's a whole lot of searching behind it, but generally speaking, that's it. That's the punchline.
No, I like it. Simple.
All right.
Clean, to the point, elegant, Colette.
That's how I try to do it.
That's how you do it. Well, my friend, I appreciate it.
All right, Tom. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks so much. I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Yep. Bye.
All right, final call. Best show. Hello. Final call.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Welcome to the best show.
Oh, sorry, I was taking myself off speaker. Hi, this is Sharon.
Oh, that's all right, Don't worry. To what do I owe the clue? Is this now?
Sharon in Los Angeles, Eagle Rock.
Sharon, how are you, Sharon? Eagle Rock, home of what? What's Eagle Rock home of? That's right, Cindy's.
Cindy's, yeah.
I'll say this about Cindy's. Sometimes they don't have to. And look, I like Cindy's a lot. I think the food is great. They sure seem to like pesto at Cindy's. Cindy's is like a diner-y kind of place that where they are certainly, it's like, oh, I'm going to get the, I'm going to get an omelet. Oh, it's got pesto on it. Okay. Well, and you'd be like, hey, can I get that without pesto? They're just like, it's the pesto is really good. And you're like, oh, no, no, I like pesto just fine. Don't know if I need that much pesto. And look, I like it, though. I like Cindy's just fine. I like Cindy's more than I like pesto.
It must be somebody's idea of fancy, right? Pesto.
Somebody loves pesto there, unless they got a deal on pesto. I don't know what it is. But they are certainly a pro pesto at Cindy's. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Sharon?
I had a story I was going to try to make you laugh.
All right.
Try to blow through it. Okay, so I used to have this job where I would exhibit VR stuff. Virtual reality, I mean.
Sure. I didn't think it was Velvet Revolver. I didn't think you were showing the latest Velvet Revolver video.
That would have been cool.
That'd be pretty amazing. They'd be like, yeah, I work in VR, and I'm going to work on a VR production presentation, and then you go to the presentation, and you are looking for the goggles, and then the person just starts playing the band Velvet Revolver.
That would be some real Hollywood stuff.
That would be the most Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So you work in VR.
I worked in VR. It took me a lot of weird places. Lots of stupid stuff happened. Different funny things. I tried to pick the one that I think was the funniest, and it's going to require some imagination. Mm-hmm. But so it was a PGA golf tournament stop, and we were exhibiting VR in this like fan zone area, right? Yeah. So chuds all day, you know, what do you expect? But also in this area, well, let me explain the experience first. I'm really trying to condense this, but the thing that I was showing off was like this lunar buggy ride. So we had, and don't worry about how it relates to golf. It doesn't, but, so it's like a motion. It's like an ATV that was converted into like this motion chair thing. So it looks like an ATV lunar buggy, but it like physically moves. It's pneumatic. Okay. But it kind of looks like, like one of those things that you put, when you're a kid, you put a quarter in it and it's like a truck and then you sit in and it just kind of like goes up and down.
You mean outside the grocery store?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like one of those little rides. Like. And look, when you're a kid, that's for all ages.
No, that's true. I definitely have tried that out more recently than
you get on that thing. You want to go for a quick ride. The thing I don't understand, Sharon, is when imagine this: you're an adult, you drive all day to take you and your friends or your family or wherever. You're driving your car, stuck in traffic, parking, this, that, gas, to go to an amusement park. I mean, what do? You get to go ride the go-karts. You just got out of an actual car, and now you're getting into a worse version of the thing that you had to drive to get to this place. So, I don't
That's
get
a
it.
Good point.
So I didn't do so. You're doing things. So. It's just catch me up on this now, because I do unfortunately have to boogie.
I understand.
So
there's that motion thing. Also, I had earned the trust of the people I worked for over the course of a few years. So I had control over the music in this area. So my friend and I, I was working with, we got to pick the playlist. So we put some like punk stuff in there and whatever else. We tried to sneak some stuff in there. Okay, next part of this is there's a cop who's there the whole time monitoring the area, you know, armed cop, a cop. And he's like a slouchy, like, you know, real donut-eating kind of cop. Right.
An old-school cop.
Old-school cop with a mustache, full mustache. So you picture that guy. Picture the donut cop and then this motion bench or motion ATV thing. And then at some point, he wants to do the VR, which is, it happened a few times with various cops because they want to do that. So he goes in there and he's in the experience, which is already hilarious because he's just, he's got like, he's blindfolded with his VR helmet, you know. He's got a gun on him too, which is weird that a cop would decide to do that, you know. Whatever. So it's that cop with the VR.
I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to say this real quick. I have an ending in mind for this that I hope is the ending that happens. So go ahead.
It might not be. It's just the other factor was the music, right?
Okay.
So the soundtrack to this is Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming.
Classic song. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can really imagine it was hilarious.
That's it. I was hoping the cop was going to throw up.
Not in front of us, at least.
But I was hoping he'd get on and be like, whoa, and then you'd see like actual cop horking up Dunkin' Donuts.
I was too pleased with the situation I just described to remember what happened immediately after.
Look, it's fine. That's the real life. You're living in real life. I'm living in some sort of teen comedy where I would want to see the cop be like, whoa.
He did have that vibe.
But it didn't happen because you're in real life. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm in Hot Dog the Movie. You're living in on planet Earth.
In a dystopian nightmare, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm living in a world where when the cops get on a ride, they barf and everybody laughs at them. That's where I'm at. You're on a thing where the cop gets on a thing and just rides the ride, and it turned out the cop got to be a cop and got to be on a ride while being a cop at work and just ride for free and have even more fun being a cop. Who do you prefer? Final question, then we're going to wrap. Who do you prefer? Okay. Do you prefer the as you refer to them, the donut cops of yesteryear? Or do you like this new breed of Joe Rogan cop?
100% donut cop is my actual preference.
We should start a thing. Bring back donut cops.
Yeah. That's a
no Joe thing. Rogan cops.
No Joe Rogan cops. Ugh.
Yeah. No Rogan cops. Bring back donut cops. The cops that where if you got in a foot race, you could suddenly just you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna outrun this cop. I know I'm okay. I'm gonna jump this fence. I'm clear.
It's the best kind.
Yeah, unless they start shooting at you because you are running away, which is also. Yeah, whatever. We're not going to get into that right now.
Yeah, we don't.
But Sharon, thank you for the call.
Absolutely. Everybody take care. Thank you.
Everybody take care. Thanks. Okay.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye. Good night. All right. So we're going to wrap up now. Wrapping up early, I know, but we'll do more next week. And we got announcements for next week. And it's going to be big picture is looking good this week. A little sad. Pat, do you want to take it?
Sure, if that's all right.
Yeah, of course.
So I lost my friend Chuck Daly this week. I didn't lose him. We all lost him. Everyone who knew him, Jersey City staple and mainstay, and just lovely, funny guy and a supportive guy and artist, musician. He was co-owner of Jersey City Tattoo Company for many years, and he just knew a lot of people, and if you knew him, you loved him. So he is going to be very, very missed. So I played in a band with Chuck for many years called Any Day Parade, and before I joined, they put out a single, and I have a copy of it, so I'm going to play a track. This is for Chuck and anyone who knew Chuck. Just thank you for everything.
We'll be back next week. Rest in peace, Chuck Daly. And here is some music from Any Day Parade.
Any Day Parade. This is
okay.
Honest Route. This is Chuck on bass guitar.
Okay. Bye.
Splash my